And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. And today, I am actually on the Trans-Siberian Express in Siberia with my good friends Hanukkah and Sasha. We've been sharing the cabin here on this train for a couple of days now. And we're still standing each other.
We're getting really tired of you.
Yeah, well, that's understandable.
I'm not doing well, but
Yeah, you know, patience tends to wear thin after a while, but we have been on the train since, oh God, what day is today? I don't even know anymore.
I think today's Friday.
So, the sun's going down now, so it'd be Friday evening.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, the sun's going down, it's Friday evening, which means back home, at least back home for me, it's Friday morning. And we're in Siberia, we're approaching the city of Irkutsk. Well, actually, you say it so much better than I do. How do you say the city?
I think it's called Irkutsk.
Okay, you just say it's much better. And the town we were in before was Yekaterinburg, but you say that better too.
Sverdlovsk.
Well, that's the other name, but how do you say the name I just said?
Yekaterinburg.
Yeah, you see, you just do it so much better. But yeah, that town has two names. It was named after the guy who arranged for the killing of the Tsar back in the 1900s. And little known fact, he died a year after that, but that's neither here nor there. So we've been on this train for about 2 days now, spent a lot of time sleeping. Well, I guess that's what you do in a train like this. The motion kind of lulls you to sleep, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, when we went on this train last night, in the middle of the night, at first it was standing still on a station, and I couldn't sleep. And I was waiting for the train to start moving again so I could sleep.
Yeah. Last night or the night before last night when we got on the train?
I'm not sure. One of the nights.
It all kind of blurs into this whole mess of just endless landscape and little stations that you stop in where merchants are selling you things and just kind of wandering up and down the car and exploring the train a little bit. Let's talk about the landscape, because that's really something that's been so impressive to me. It's so incredibly big, expansive, and endless. Is it what you expected to see?
It's interesting, especially for us coming from Holland, where from Amsterdam I can take a train basically at least three different directions, and I'm out of the country within 1.5 to 2 hours. And here we've been in going on this train for 2.5 days almost now, and there's basically birch trees, big fields, some marshes, then a small city, then more birch trees, and that's for 2 days straight, and there's no real... It's one or two big cities, and that's it. And this is only a short part of the seven-day journey the Trans-Siberian originally is from Moscow to Vladivostok. So it kind of gives a view of how big the country and the globe itself actually is. And
I just want to say it's very exciting to be in the middle of Siberia.
Woohoo! Yeah, and we entered Siberia, I believe, Wednesday morning. And it's now, what's it, Wednesday morning? No, it was Thursday morning. I'm sorry. Thursday morning. Maybe it might have been Wednesday in New York. I'm still on New York time, believe it or not. And that means we've been in Siberia for most of this trip. However, this train, after we get off at Irkutsk, this train continues on to Vladivostok. And that's another, what, 3-4 days?
I think it's another 2.5 days or something like that.
So all of that, is Siberia. So Siberia is huge. It is absolutely incredibly huge. And I guess it's just something that I never really had impressed upon me quite so much. As far as what we've been seeing throughout, occasionally the train makes a stop. And, well, Hanukkah, would you like to describe the scene at a typical station when the train stops?
Well, if the train stops, that's really so cool, because the local people will flock the platforms and they will offer all kinds of things for sale. It's mostly food, but on the first stop where we got off, there were people selling huge vases, like 3 feet high almost, and they were selling flowers and stuffed animals and all kinds of things you really don't want to take on a long train trip. But still, people bought them, like whole sets of whiskey glasses and teapots with cups and everything. But we've mostly been buying food, and today I got some tomatoes, cucumbers, and some cooked potatoes, which is very nice to eat on a train.
I got some dumplings. I got a piece of a chicken here, a cucumber, or maybe it's a pickle. And of course, I also have some dried stuff that you pour hot water into. Now, there's a boiling hot water machine at the end of the car, right?
Yeah, it's called the samovar, and you can use it throughout a whole train ride to get hot water from. So if you bring your own tea bags or your own dried soup, well, you can have your meals and tea whenever you want.
And that's what we had to do last night because the cafe car was closed by the time we finally made it up there. In fact, we're going to try during the show, a little later on, to make it to the cafe car. And if it goes like all the other shows we've been doing, we're going to get to that point and someone's going to tell us to turn the microphone off because, once again, we have this huge microphone. Last week, if you listened, we were stopped in Red Square, of all places, by a member of the FSB, formerly known as the KGB, who motioned to us to turn the microphone off because apparently they didn't want sound of Red Square to get out to the world. That's happened in London as well. Having a big microphone makes people do weird things. So we'll see how walking through the train will affect people. Now, we're going to have to do a lot of walking, too, because we're in car 14, and the dining car is what car?
Dining car is car number 6, so we have about 8 cars we have to go through to get to the dining car. And it's kind of an expedition, as you have to cross a lot of doors, and you have to go through a lot of pretty narrow corridors where people who are standing there and just looking out of the window have to press against the wall for other people to let them pass. And between the cars, there are these doors, these big metal doors that you have to open with a lot of force. And you'll hear a lot of noise when we're crossing from one carriage into another. It's going to be interesting.
And possibly dangerous, too. We could be putting our lives at risk to bring you this radio. But it's what we do. It's what it's all about. So now, we've been in this little cabin here. You want to describe what the cabin is like?
The cabin is pretty nice. It has 4 benches that double as beds. There are 2 lower ones, 2 upper ones. I'm currently sleeping in one of the upper ones, and this one does not have a little fence to keep you from falling out. So that was a little bit scary because the train is pretty wobbly. And I made this construction. I used my belt. I put my belt around a handle that's on the wall, and when I'm sleeping, I'm putting my arm through it. And whenever I turn, I'm putting my other arm through it to keep me from falling out.
That's incredible. I didn't know you did that. That's very enterprising of you, Hanukkah. I just elected to stay on the bottom this time because, well, I was scared enough on top on the first train with a little fence contraption they put on the end. Because I thought that I could easily just roll off the top of that. It must happen a lot. And, you know, it looks like it really hurt if you rolled off this thing and landed on the ground. Because it's very narrow and very hard.
Well, apart from landing on the ground, you'd smack your head in the little tray table that's here with all the bread and bottles of water and stuff. They wouldn't be very comfortable.
No, and it'd be very messy on top of that. But it's just one of the many hardships, I guess, that you deal with when you're on the Trans-Siberian Express. What are some of the other hardships that we've had to deal with? They closed the bathroom, it seems, at their whim on occasion. But actually, there's logic to it, is there not, Sasha?
Well, the idea is that they close it for every station, so you don't use the bathroom at the station. But sometimes they're kind of early closing it, and sometimes they're kind of late opening it again after we've been at the station. And at one station, the train lady cleaned the bathroom, I think, half an hour before we were at the station. And thus it had to be locked, so it was clean at the station for some reason. And, yeah, things like that happen a lot.
The train lady, of course, is the pravednitsa.
Yep.
And every car has one. Every car has this woman, or in one case at least we saw a man, who basically sits in a little room at one end of the car and just minds the car. And that means keeping track of who's coming and going, attending to whatever needs we might have that she can actually attend to, vacuuming, I guess kicking outsiders out. Like last night, they kicked some outsiders out who had wandered in from another car. Didn't they do that? Weren't they talking to you?
Oh, yeah. I was sitting in the corridor because I wanted to type some text on my laptop, and the battery was flat. So I had to use the power outlet in the corridor, and it was this little foldable chair attached to the wall where I was sitting on. It's just right beneath the power outlet. And so when you're sitting there and typing, you really have to squeeze against the wall if anybody's passing. And these two guys came up to me and they started asking in Russian, like, where are you from and where are you going, what you're doing here, etc., etc. Now, my Russian isn't very good, and they were slightly drunk, I think. And the provodnitsa, she peeked her head around the corner and she looked at it for a while, and then she came up to them and she chased them out. And I don't know what she was saying, but it was probably a combination of don't be so loud, people are sleeping, and leave that girl alone.
See, when I sit there, nobody talks to me. Everybody just goes right on past. So definite difference in attitude as you sit in the corridor there.
Well, when I sit there, it's hard to get work done because everybody just comes up to me and starts asking me all those questions in Russian, of course, and my Russian is really crappy. So I have a hard time understanding them. They have a hard time understanding me. And last night, there were also two guys who came up to me and they wanted to give me some Russian MP3s, some music. And I said, well, it's not my laptop, so I'll ask Sasha, the owner of the laptop, tomorrow. And today they came back, and we got all this Russian music from them. And they said they had some Russian pictures. So I downloaded them, and we had to look at the pictures. And I thought he meant there were photos from St. Petersburg, where his brother lives. But it turned out to be Russian cartoons and some nude women involved and stuff like that. And we had to look all through all of them before they were content.
Meanwhile, I was sitting in here doing work with my headphones on, oblivious to it all, which is the kind of thing you can do on this train. You can just sort of hide in your own little world. It's surprisingly comfortable. You know, I thought I'd have trouble falling asleep on a train, but I've had no trouble at all. In fact, if anything, I've had trouble waking up on the train.
Yes, definitely. It's so comforting. I've heard it. Many babies sleep well when they're on a car or a train or something like that, at least when they're moving, and then they wake up when they stop. I can now totally relate to that. It's really nice, cozy.
I can't usually sleep on vehicles. I can't sleep in cars, can't sleep on planes, but this is different.
I also think that it's kind of interesting how day and night kind of almost blends into one. Like, okay, it's light during the day, but outside of that, you're on here for more than 36 hours, so it's you sleep when you want to, and you wake up a bit, and you sleep some more, and
yeah, it actually turns out pretty well.
Well, we also have, it's also because you have like a permanent train lag, because we flew from Amsterdam to Moscow. Moscow is two hours later than Amsterdam. We took a train to Yekaterinburg, which is 2 hours later, and now we're on our way to Irkutsk, which is another 3 hours later. And the train is in Moscow time, but you want to get out. If you go somewhere, you are at local time. The city is at local time. So when we get to Irkutsk, we're 5 hours ahead of Moscow, but we ourselves are somewhere in between. It's kind of confusing.
Well, I'm very confused because I'm dealing with about four different time zones here. I'm on New York time, which I have to be because doing the broadcast of Off the Hook, I have to know what time it's on, and I can't be confused as to what time that is because they certainly aren't back there. And also, I'm on, the time that you're from, your Central European time, because you make reference to that. But then the train itself is on Moscow time. And what that means, and a freight train's passing by the way, you hear the sound of that. That happens about every 5 minutes, it seems. The train is on Moscow time. What that means is everything on the schedule is listed as if it were in Moscow. And when you go to the train stations on this route, any train station, the clocks in the station and outside the station will read Moscow time. However, if you venture a few feet away from the train station, it'll be in local time. It's very strange. It's like you suddenly enter a different world. So the train itself is on Moscow time, except apparently for the cafe, which we tried to visit last night, and it was closed very early. And then, of course, there's whatever local time we're in, which is the one that I'm least sure of because I have no idea what time it is right now. It's, you know, it's evening, but then again, evening comes very late in this part of the world. The sun doesn't set until around 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So it's anyone's guess what time it really is. But as we chug further east, we're getting closer and closer to our destination. We arrive in about, I think, less than 12 hours. We'll be in Irkutsk.
I think in about 8 hours or something. but I'm not really sure too.
Well, hopefully we'll be sure when we get off the train in the right station. We don't want to wind up in the wrong place in Siberia. That could be unfortunate. So this is part of my round-the-world expedition. So far I've done shows from the Atlantic Ocean, London, the What the Hack conference in the Netherlands, and Moscow, right in the middle of Red Square. And next week, hopefully, you know, I'm not sure. Are we going to be in Mongolia or Beijing for the show next week? I'm not sure. One of the two. The real challenge, and if you're hearing it this week without a week's gap, it means that we've met the challenge. That is, of course, uploading the show, getting internet access. I haven't had internet access for several days now, and I'm feeling withdrawal symptoms. A couple other things. We haven't been able to have a shower in the last few days. It's not really our fault because, you know, the hotel we stayed at in Yekaterinburg was had no hot water. That was unfortunate. And then, of course, when you're on the train, you can't really take a really good shower on the train unless you rig up one of those hoses and somehow sprinkle yourself out of the faucet. Some people do that. Some people go to a lot of trouble. You know, I just don't think it's really worthwhile. I don't think it's worth all the effort. So, yeah, we've been doing it without a bunch of things like that. We've been eating all kinds of, you know, strange food that we get at the platform and that we bought in advance at grocery stores. And, you know, I have no trouble with that. It's a little bit of a hardship for us, but it's really not that bad at all. So I could see how people riding on the Trans-Siberian Express could have a miserable time if they were, say, locked in a cabin with people they could not stand. People who are loud, obnoxious, taking up lots of space. Now, with three people in a four-person cabin. And I could see a fourth person definitely making things a lot more crowded. And if you add people who are obnoxious, people who play music, or who smell, or who smoke, even though you're not supposed to smoke in these things, it could really be hell on wheels, literally.
Well, I think, in general, if you see some of the other carts, most of the people spend their time in the compartment itself sleeping. And if they're not sleeping, they're either sitting outside or kind of walking around on the train. And it is big enough for us three and our luggage, and it's quite comfortable, and you know each other. But if there's three other people you don't know and have a lot of luggage with them, and especially on the railway station, you see people with tons of luggage and, like, local merchants going somewhere else. And, like, yeah. But still, I think it's worth the trip, even if you're alone and with other people, and it's quite an experience.
A friend of ours once advised us, if you're going to take the Trans-Siberia train, you should take it from Moscow to the east and not the other way around. Because if you take it the other way around, people go there to get, go shopping, and they come back with a lot of merchandise. And when you get on your train, your seat might very well be taken by somebody's fridge or something, and they might not be inclined to move it for you.
Yeah, I saw somebody walking by last night when I was typing away at my laptop in the corridor. She had all these fur coats. God knows where she was keeping them all, but, you know, the whole thing was about three times her size. And she was walking down the hallway, calling out to anybody who was interested in buying a fur coat. Mind you, we're in the middle of the summer here, not the winter. We're in the middle of the summer, and she's selling fur coats, I guess at a good price. But, you know, I sure wouldn't want to have one of those. Although it has been getting kind of chilly lately. It was hot in Moscow ever since we got a little further to the east. It's been more chilly. Definitely colder part of the world.
Interesting. I think it was on the first night I was walking around on the corridor here, and there were some people in another compartment opening their window, and then not being able to close it, and Provetnitsa was helping them, and it was like, oh, you can't close your window, that's bad, because it was kind of chilly already outside. And then I walk back to our compartment and see you two guys opening the window. I'm like, oh no, don't do that.
Well, the reason we were trying to do that was because that was the night we were doing Off the Hook, and I figured that having a good view of the sky would help the satellite phone get a lock on a satellite. Of course, when we realized that the window wouldn't close again, that was when we, you know, knew that it wasn't a good idea to continue trying that. Window was very hard to move. As it turned out, the satellite phone worked fairly well, pressed up against the window pane. But definitely not something that was good for a very long-term conversation. But then, you know, you don't really get on the Trans-Siberian Express to have long phone conversations. I've had quite a few SMS communications with people, and that's really cool. You know, all of a sudden your phone beeps, and it's a message from somebody at home, and you're able to reply. and that's kind of cool. When I see the bill, I'll wonder if it's still cool, I'm sure. But hopefully it's not too much of a ripoff. How about you guys? Have you been able to stay in touch with people back home, or are you kind of isolated out here?
It's been isolated by choice, basically. I've called my parents like a couple of days ago just to say hi and that I'm still surviving, etc. And outside of that, I'm pretty happy to not read the email and not really know what's on in the news. And we were at an internet cafe a couple of days back and checked a couple of the headlines back home. I was kind of like, okay, this is boring. I'll keep up when I get back home in like a couple of weeks. And usually when you go out for a month at a time and you come back, basically you can condense all the information you wanted from that month on one page, and the rest of the news is filler and not very interesting at all. And so it's actually really quiet and nice to not have news constantly. And
your SMSing annoys the hell out of me.
Does it really?
No, I'm just joking.
Okay, well, you have to tell me these things, because I know that they fester and then all of a sudden people explode. And you just hear all the things that, have been annoying people for the last several days. Because, I have been going into silent mode, because it's been annoying me, actually, the beeps. But communicating back and forth, I'm sort of addicted to that. And there's a lot of things going on at home that I sort of have to be kept in touch about. You know, a lot of decisions that have to be made. And for some reason, only I can make the decision. But I don't know what's going on in the world. I really don't. And if you've listened to this show before, you know that this is a program about current events. I usually rant and rave about something that's going on in the world. So it's unusual for me to be on these airwaves and not have a clue as to what's going on. I don't know what George W. Bush just did. I don't know what he did a week ago. I honestly don't know. It's probably something that would really annoy me. It's probably something that I would go on for about 15 minutes about. I don't know what Rumsfeld has been saying. I don't know what's been going on in Iraq, but I'm sure it's not good. You've heard me rant and rave about these things, haven't you?
Yeah, of course. But now our universe has just shrunken a little bit. It consists of this train and maybe this coupe with the four benches. And, you can venture out as far as the diner car, which is going to be pretty interesting. Maybe you can rant and rave about it being closed or something.
Well, yeah, I could rant and rave about the current environment because, yes, we did walk all the way down there. What, car 6 from car 14? And the cars are very long. They're very long cars. Long walk. And got all the way there, and of course they tell us, nope, it's closed, it's finished for tonight. And the train, that part of the train apparently is not on Moscow time, because we were there, it was around what, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock?
We were there at 8:30 in the evening on Moscow time, and a few days before we had dinner at 10 o'clock Moscow time. So I was quite surprised that it was closed, and I tried to ask the guy in Russian what hours they had, and he just said tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, that's when we have the hours. I was shocked. I was literally shocked. Yeah, that's how I felt about that. Outraged. Absolutely outraged. Flabbergasted. So hopefully tonight we'll have a little better luck. Although, to be honest, we have so much food here that we bought at the station that I'm not really all that hungry, but it would be kind of nice to sit at a table, like civilized people, and look at the world passing by and have people bring us what we ask for. Actually, maybe they won't bring us what we ask for. What were some of the things on the menu last time we went to a cafe car?
We had very interesting things on the menu. We asked for an English menu. I made a mistake of saying «здравствуйте», which is basically «hello» in Russian. So we got two Russian menus. And then I had to ask for an English menu. But because it was kind of hard, I could make out that I have soups and salads. But what was exactly in there was kind of beyond my scope of my knowledge of the Russian language. So we were looking at the English menu, and they had interesting stuff like egg under mayonnaise with sausage smoked, and the Dutch cheese.
The Dutch cheese?
Yes, because Russian doesn't use words like A and D, so when they use English, they just throw them in whenever appropriate and whenever not appropriate. And the most interesting thing was, there was also a hunchback salmon.
The hunchback salmon. I really regret not getting that. I always wanted to see what a hunchback salmon looked like.
Well, maybe you can get it today.
I hope so.
But one of the more intriguing things on the menu was boiled language.
Yes, you heard right. Boiled language. And I think that sort of maybe describes the entire menu more than it describes a particular dish. I'm trying to figure out, and I actually have stayed up nights because I've been sleeping in the morning. I've stayed up nights wondering what that could possibly have been. Because I saw the word sausage. I thought maybe it was a boiled sausage, but I saw the word sausage somewhere else in the menu, so odds are it wasn't that. So what could boiled language possibly be? And I made a silent vow to myself, very silent and solemn vow, that if I ever saw anywhere on a menu again boiled language, no matter what I was feeling, I would get it, just to know what it was. Although there's always the fear that once they bring it to you, you still might not know what it is. But that's part of the risk of life on the Trans-Siberian.
I think the menus in general or restaurants in general actually are pretty interesting experience. Like I think 2 days ago in Yekaterinburg, we went to Gordon's, in a Scottish pub, which was a one-on-one copy of any pub you'd see anywhere else in the world, complete with all the whiskey, paraphernalia, stuff like that. But when we asked for an English menu, they had one, and they had to locate it somewhere in the restaurant. So we used the menu, decided what we wanted to have, and then the waitress came, and we asked things on the English menu, which she had no idea what we were talking about, because the names on the English menu were translated from the Russian menu and are thus differently. So we still had to take the Russian menu and then look, okay, it's on soups, it's the third one down, yes, it looks kind of similar, okay, we want that.
I think on a couple occasions, though, it wasn't even the third one down. I think they were renumbered on the Russian menu and the English menu, just to make it even more complicated.
Well, at least they were on different pages. That was complicating the things.
I found that there are so many things, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's just one of my observations, but in Russian culture, there are so many things that just seem unnecessarily complicated. You know, there's just like an extra step added for no particular reason, where you've got to go someplace to get a particular piece of paper. If you don't have that piece of paper, you can't go past this point. But there's no real reason for that piece of paper to even exist. And something else, Russia seems to be filled with little fiefdoms, like the hotel we stayed in. Every single floor has its own, what do you call that, a receptionist, a person that sits at a desk. And what you're supposed to do is you go to the main receptionist downstairs. She gives you a piece of paper, which has your room number on it. And if you pass by a security guard of some sort, you have to show him that to get onto the elevator and the staircase. And then, once you get to your floor, there's someone else sitting there, and you hand that piece of paper to that person, who then gives you your key to your room. Now, that's in a small hotel. A bigger hotel will have a person like that on each side of the hotel. There'll be four sides to the hotel, and every floor will have four different sides. This one was smaller, so there is a person like this on every floor, and then you could walk up the staircase one flight, and there'd be another person right there. They could call out to each other and hear each other. They were all, you know, right there. They probably all knew each other. They probably all hung out together. Here on the train, every car has its own pravonista, which is a person who keeps charge of that particular train car. And I'm sure they all know each other. They know everybody who's on the car. It's, you know, it's an interesting way of doing things.
I think there's actually two pravodnitsas per car, one for the day and one for the night.
I was going to wonder, I was going to ask you about that, because there's no way they could possibly stay up the whole time.
No, it's the same as, I think, a couple of the locomotives we saw pass by. They also have, like, living quarters. Because basically this train, it stops a couple of times a day, but it runs for 7 days straight. So there's probably like three or four drivers in there doing shifts each, and
let's hope so. Let's hope it's not one poor guy with a gun to his head who has to drive the whole route from Moscow to Vladivostok. Well, in any event, we're not taking the whole route. Some people do that. Some people get on the train and don't get off until it reaches the end. And there's three places. Perhaps a quick explanation is in order. Then we'll take a walk to the dining car. Basically, you can leave from Moscow and go all the way to Vladivostok, which is the easternmost part of Siberia, and it's a port city. Or you can break off and go down to Beijing. And the third route is where?
The third route also goes to Beijing, but there's two options. There's going to Beijing from Russia directly, and there's also going through Mongolia to Beijing, and that's the one we're currently taking.
Okay, so if for some reason you want to avoid Mongolia, you take what's known as the Trans-Manchurian Express, and the train that we will get on next time we get on a train will be known as the Trans-Mongolian Express because it goes to Ulaanbaatar. This one that we're on right now is a true Trans-Siberian Express because it's going from Moscow to Vladivostok. Now, the people on the train, have you had a chance to interact with many of them? Are they tourists? Are they locals?
I think they're mostly Russians, and they keep trying to communicate with me. And when we were walking through the car towards the dining car yesterday, I heard some people speaking German. So there are bound to be some other tourists on this train. There must be, because this is one of the most famous tourist routes to take.
Why would Russians take the Trans-Siberian Express?
To get to the other side of Russia, of course.
Do Russians do that often, though? Do they go from one side of Russia to another?
Well, it depends on where you need to go. If you have family in Vladivostok or Irkutsk or wherever, it might be the logical train to take.
Would it really be logical to take 7 days to get someplace rather than take an airplane? Would an airplane really be that much more expensive?
Yes, air travel is more expensive, and many people in Russia are not very rich.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You see people making do with what they have, and it's very inspirational. I'm looking now at some houses that... Do you think these houses are even lived in? They look so ramshackle.
Yes, they're lived in. The houses we see along the track are mostly made from wood, and most of them could use a bit of paint. You could describe it that way. To us, it looks very picturesque, but to the people there, I guess they would like... They'd rather have a bit better looking house.
Yeah, I sort of have mixed feelings because there's a part of me that wants to see things look lively and people chipper and having fun. But then there's another side that sees something very, very different, that sees this this country village where everything seems so simple. And it's a way of life that is just so hard for us to assimilate into. So in a way, I envy that. But again, you know, I wonder, people who live in these communities who want to see more of the world, do they ever have that chance? Do they ever have the ability to get out? I'm hoping, you know, through things like the internet, at least people can have a sense of what's out there, much the same way that we have a sense of what's over here, that we're able to travel to this part of the world and then transmit back to our part of the world what it's like. And again, if you're just tuning in, this is Off the Wall, special edition on the Trans-Siberian Express. I'm here with Hanukkah and Sasha. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you until, I guess, a little less than a half hour. I guess what we should do now is try and take that walk down to the dining car. Now, Sasha, you're going to stay here and guard the stuff?
Yes, I will.
Okay, because that's how it works in the train. You know, you can't really lock the door. So someone has to watch over the valuables, and there are quite a few valuables. Not the microphone, because we're taking that, but the computers and the cameras and... various other things like that. And the memories, of course. We keep all the memories in here. All right, so we're opening up the door now, and we're going to step out into the corridor. And this is about when we should get our first strange looks from people. I see someone's charging a cell phone outside. Bye, Sasha.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're right at the edge. We're right at the very end of the car. So we're next to the bathroom. We're next to where people smoke. They go outside and they smoke.
Yeah, that's not so nice. On the other train, we're at the other side of the car. That was much more relaxing. And now we have to keep the door of our coupe shut at all times because it kind of stinks in the hallway.
Yeah, it does. But it's just one of the many things that you have to kind of overlook when you're on the road.
You could walk over to the very end of the train.
To the very end of the train?
Yeah.
What's at the very end of the train?
Nothing, I think.
Are we one car away from the very end?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you lead the way. Walking down the corridor now in our own car. The opposite direction of where we want to go, which only means that we'll walk longer to get to the dining car, where they'll no doubt tell us it's closed. Excuse me. Thank you. Very narrow corridors. Okay, now we're going to step between two cars. This is very scary, by the way. Okay. Is that locked? That's not locked. All right. There are two people smoking out there. Now we're going into another car. Okay, we just walked by a whole bunch of people. Is this the last car? Or is there another one that was added? Oh, this is the last car. Look at this. It's the end.
There's the window.
The
end of the train.
Let me hold the microphone up to that so the listeners can appreciate that we're looking out the very back of the train. Wow, that is cool. Well, you know, I wish I'd come here with my camera and not my microphone because this is a very picturesque sight.
Yeah, we should come back here with the video cam.
Yes.
before it gets dark.
So this, I guess, is car 15. Now we have to walk all the way to car 6.
Okay. All right. You lead the way?
I lead the way. Okay, let's try this. So we go down the hallway again. Okay, approaching the end of the last car. Scary part. I love it when the train hits a curve just when you're going through that the compartment between the carriages.
By the way, did you notice that our car is the only one that does not have the decorations from the Rossiya?
What are those decorations?
The Rossiya, like the real Trans-Siberian train, has these nice green curtains with the yellow fringes, and over every window they have a nice picture of a city, and it's Rossiya embroidered in gold on it, and it looks very fancy. And our car was added in Yekaterinburg. It's an extra car, and it looks like a normal Russian sleeping train car. And now I notice that even the very last car, car number 15, has the Rossiya decorations. We're the only ones who don't have it.
That's really something.
Well, they're basically the same, but the atmosphere, it's just like, it looks nice, you know?
Well, when was car 15 added?
I have no clue. I didn't notice.
Because car 14 was the only one that was added when we got on, I believe.
I think so.
Interesting.
That's
our car. We'll have to write a letter about that, I guess. Let's continue through our car now. Again, walking through car 14. Okay, now we're at the end of car 14, cutting through. And just to give you an idea here, we're in a very tiny compartment. The bathroom's on the left, and the entranceway to car 13 is directly in front of us. Where people stand to smoke. Smoking section, and now... Oh, why? Okay. Now we're in car 13. Wow. And it gets me every time. Getting the strangest look from children who see me walking by here with a microphone.
You get strange looks at a microphone.
I think I just get strange looks, period, by default. Okay. Now at the edge. It really stinks over here.
Oh, it's a garbage can.
Yeah. Alright. Into car 12 now. You okay? It looked like you were about to go through the edge there.
I lost my balance for a moment.
You lost your balance right between the two cars.
Yeah, well, that's the place to lose your balance because it's really bumpy there.
I always wondered what prevents you from just catapulting out of the train when that happens. Not much, huh?
No. Well, no, you can get out.
That was something. All right. Continuing through here. Okay, I lost track. Is this car 12 or car 13?
I lost count.
There's no way to know when you're in the car. They have a sign outside.
We can always find our car back. Are the only one with a blue car?
Yeah. All right, cutting through here.
Thank you.
We can always ask somebody, too, I suppose. Since you, boy, the smokers really are serious, aren't they? Since you sort of know the language, you can ask.
You don't need to smoke cigarettes, just stand there.
No, you don't need to smoke a cigarette, you just, yeah.
You totally smoke yourself.
Yeah. I feel like I've smoked a pack just by walking down this corridor so far. But what I was saying was, you can actually ask somebody what car this is, what the number is of the car.
Well, I'd have to think about that for 2 minutes before I know what to say.
Okay. Well, it's okay. Let's just say that we're making steady progress as we walk down the train. Every time, And these doors open outward too, so it's very hard to open the next door. There's very little space. Okay, we must be in car 10 or car 9 or something by now, but we're getting ever closer to the dining car. Hey, holding out so far?
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Fine.
All right. We have more people behind us, too, who are also making the journey. Okay, good. We must continue on. And we've walked a good distance so far.
Песни поете?
Песни.
Sir?
Зачем микрофон?
А.
Микрофон?
Да.
You want to say something?
Песня?
В смысле там?
Ля-ля-ля-ля-ля.
А, нет. Радиопрограмма.
Да вы что? О чем?
Вы хотите что сказать?
А что именно можно сказать? О чем?
По-русски.
По-русски без проблем.
Thomas in the United States.
Это американский радиопрограмма.
О чем говорят, о чем интервью?
To who? We asked to who?
New York City radio station?
New York City.
Actually, it's not New York City, Long Island, but they wouldn't know Long Island.
Без проблем, сейчас скажем, что нужно. О чем? О России? О российской? Без проблем. Какие вопросы? Но мы не понимаем по-английски.
Okay, I think he says it wouldn't be a problem if it was from Russia, but in America they won't understand me.
Oh, no, that's not true. Many Russians in America.
Мы Russian soldier, Russian officer. Но мы военные, военнослужащие. Мы военнослужащие, Russian officer. Вот, собрали, вот здесь вот.
А, Russian officers. Is it Russian officers?
Yes.
Ah, cool. Well, we've been on a mess around too much, so
okay.
We got to the dining car.
Okay.
All right. What's we done? That's right there. I just remembered seeing a whole bunch of soldiers getting on the train earlier, and that must be them, except they're in civilian garb now. Hopefully won't get reported to whoever's in charge. It's just to show you never know when you're talking to a soldier. And there's an awful lot of them in Russia. If you walk down the streets of any city, you'll see many people dressed in camouflage.
Yeah, because they still have, how do you call that? It's a mandatory military service.
Yeah, mandatory conscription, the draft, or whatever you want to call it. You'll know back home in America soon, I'm sure. I've totally lost track of what car we're in or approaching.
Yeah, me too.
All right, jump over this last one. Well, it's not the last one, I'm sure. Oh, this is the nice car. This is like the first class car, isn't it?
It looks very nice.
This is where all the rich people live. Well,
can you hear some envy in your voice?
No, not at all. Just a little bit of disdain. No envy. What do I have to be envious of? The nice clean carpet. The pristine walls.
Two beds per coupe instead of four.
They have two instead of four. Wow.
Yes, and they look really soft. Cars aren't bad either.
No, I have no complaints. In Russian trains, there are actually four classes. Although on this train, I think there are only two classes on this train. Supposedly there's a car with hard benches, but I don't think I've seen that.
No, this is only first and second class.
Okay, they have third and fourth class on other trains. And fourth class, the lowest class, you actually sit on a hard bench. And I think there might be chickens involved, too. I'm not sure about that, though. Okay. Here we are, a dining car, and there are people dining. Wow, we've reached Mecca.
It looks pretty full. I wonder if you can get...
Well, it's either full or it's empty. We never seem to be able to win here. second? Excellent. All right, we've made it. Sitting at a table.
He told us to come back tomorrow.
Oh.
So, here we are. We're back.
This is really as cool as it gets when you're in a dining car and the window has scenery just going by. And the menu is in English?
Yes, it is.
Amazing.
He remembered us.
Any boiled language? Because we could certainly use some of that.
Fried pork, fried salmon, nut sauce, mushrooms, sour cream, mushrooms instead of mushrooms.
Mushrooms?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I haven't had mushrooms in a long time.
Maybe you should order them.
Sprats with butter and lemon.
Oh, there's different types of borscht. You should try the borscht. Have you tried the borscht?
You know, I haven't had borscht since I've come to Russia. I've been meaning to. I really have.
Because it's very good soup.
Fast service soup. I like that.
I think that's especially for Americans.
Okay, well, what we order, I guess, isn't as much of interest to our listeners as to what we are experiencing. We had a nice, healthy walk through the entire train. We've made it to the dining car. Evening is setting upon us right now. And I guess in about 7 hours or so, we will be arriving at our destination. Hanneke, what's the plan after that? What do we do?
We have 2 days to check out the lovely town of Irkutsk in Siberia, and after that we go on the train to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, where we're going to visit a nature reserve.
So what kind of things can we expect to see in a nature reserve in Ulaanbaatar, in Mongolia?
Horses, little horses. The Przewalski horse, one of the, I think it's like the prehistoric forefather of all horses. They're very small. And I think they were extinct, but they have been reintroduced in Mongolia, where they originally came from. And I think in this park, they have been reintroduced even by a Dutch group of people.
So then they weren't really extinct?
I think they were only living in zoos at that point.
Interesting. Well, and then after that, it's over to China. That's going to be a very interesting place. You've never been to China either, have you?
No, and I heard that, well, we're really going to be stared at. Even in Beijing, where a lot of foreigners come, a lot of tourists, they will be staring at us more than here in Russia.
Well, I get stared at in New York, so I'm not really, you know, that averse to going to a place where I'm going to be stared at.
Oh, just wait till you get to China.
Well, maybe I should put on a little show, you know, if I'm going to be stared at by that many people. As long as it's not any kind of, you know, hostile, combative type things that go on. I think people there are fairly friendly, right?
I think so, yeah. And they might laugh at you, but
I'm used to
worse.
That as well. I'm used to all these things. So, okay, at that point then, in Beijing, that's where you actually find out if you're going to be allowed into North Korea.
Yes, in Beijing, we have to go to the North Korean embassy to pick up our visa in person. So we're very excited, and I so hope it's going to work. But we won't know until we get them.
Now, of course, I'm not allowed into North Korea at all because I'm an American. This is one of the downsides to being an American. So I will be continuing on to Shanghai, and then from there heading to Tokyo, actually Osaka, then Tokyo, and then taking a freighter across the Pacific Ocean to California, and then Amtrak across the United States. So I will have come full circle around the globe by land and by sea. That, however, won't be until late September, so I've got quite a bit of traveling to go. Although, it's interesting, earlier today, I realized that we must have passed the halfway point, at least for me, since I believe when we arrive at Irkutsk, I will be 13 hours ahead of New York time. So 12 hours, I guess, would be the halfway point. 13 hours would be slightly more than that. So while I may be further away than I've ever been from home, I'm also getting closer.
Are you ready to order?
I've got to think about this for a little while. If you can fill the time a little bit with some banter, I can look at the at the menu. I've never had to order while on the air before.
Well, this is going to be your first time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes any interesting radio, but at least it's interesting for you.
Well, the mushrooms definitely sound interesting. I've never had those before. Boy, this isn't a good place to go if you're a vegetarian, is it? Everything's got meat in it.
Yeah, Russians not for vegetarians.
Yeah, I like how they spell...
Absolutely not for vegans.
How they spell peas, green peas, P-E-A-S-E. Mm-hmm. But I guess I shouldn't make fun. I can't speak a word of Russian, so... but still, it is funny, all right? I'm sorry. I noticed the alcohol section is completely blank. Does that mean I don't have any?
I do. Look behind you.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Okay. That problem
There's
is solved.
Different brands of beer. Russian beer, Baltica.
Well, I think I'll definitely get borscht.
Yeah, you should.
But which kind? There's so many different kinds. What would you recommend?
Well, there's two kinds of borscht, with cabbage, potato, and chicken, and with cabbage, potato, and beef. So your basic choice between beef and chicken.
Which choice will Emmanuel make? That's the question that is being posed to the radio listeners now. We're almost running out of time. I realize it's probably completely boring to anybody listening, hearing us decide what kind of food to get at the restaurant car in the Trans-Siberian Express as we chug along eastward. But it's a necessary part of life here. Well, we're not getting served anyway at the moment, so I think we're not really getting served. So I think we have a little bit of time. What are you getting?
I'm getting fried potatoes and tomatoes, I think.
Fried potatoes and tomatoes. Imagine that.
Yeah, those are side dishes. And the other train, I only wanted the fried potatoes, and the waitress was very upset that I was ordering a side dish.
Yeah, she was pretty mad about that. They get mad at the weirdest things. They really do. I've been yelled at so many times in Russia, always being yelled at for one thing or another, just doing things the wrong way. I always do things the wrong way. You know, I get on the wrong car, or I walk in the wrong door, I order the wrong thing. But, you know, that's just... When you don't know what they're yelling at you about, you just kind of smile and nod and move on, and then they yell at you even more.
Of course.
So it's been a yell fest here for me, pretty much. I think I'll get the fried salmon with nut sauce. That sounds kind of cool right there. Yeah, let's see if we can get their attention. So, any closing thoughts, Hanukkah, on this trip? Is it going the way you expected it to go?
Yes, pretty much, and I'm so enjoying it. It's really cool. It's so great to be in a train for so many days at one stretch and to see the Russian, even the Siberian landscape rolling by at a window. It's absolutely fantastic. I love it.
Was there anything you were afraid of, that your biggest concerns getting on a trip like this?
I was expecting very dirty toilets, and they turned out to be pretty okay. They made me smell a bit, but they're actually pretty good. So far, no complaints at all.
Yeah, I was told to expect the non-Western style toilets. I don't know if anyone's ever seen those, but basically they're the squatting kind. It's very hard to describe, but I haven't seen those yet. Not on the train. Anyway.
They're not hard to describe because they also have them in France.
I've never seen one there, and I certainly never seen one in the States. I guess you could Google for this or something and see what we're talking about, because I don't want to describe it any more than this. But, suffice to say, it's been quite nice so far. Yeah, a few hardships we have to deal with. There was no hot water in one place we stayed at, and there's, sometimes hard to get electricity, sometimes a little hard to get food. But the scenery has been amazing. The people have been friendly. Overall, I think it's just been a fantastic experience. And... I very much look forward to continuing it. Not bored at all. I've been on this train now for over 2 days. And got a lot more traveling to do. Next week, I'll be coming to you from someplace else. Not quite sure where. But it's all part of the adventure. It's also part of the adventure not knowing when the world is going on. But, it's a good break for me. It's a good break not knowing what's happening in the world.
I like it. It's relaxing.
You like me not talking about current events?
Yeah, that's very good.
Maybe that can be the new format, me not talking about current events. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this adventure as we chug along. And the train has not slowed down once since we started this show, by the way. Moving at a good, what would you say? This is like 60 miles an hour or something like that? About that. Been moving along ever steady towards the east. And this train will continue moving after we get off. And we'll continue moving in a different direction. We'll bring you the updates there. You can also keep track of where I am by going to the website, www.2600.com, /travel, or you can simply click on the globe that can be found on the front page, www.2600.com, and you'll see my latest adventures and pictures. I apologize for the pictures. I have kind of a crappy camera, but you know, when you're making a movie, which I'm also involved in, doing radio shows and carrying around other things, you kind of have to sacrifice something. And in this particular case, having a cheap camera was preferable to having an expensive one. So those are just the kind of pictures you're going to have to deal with. Hanukkah and Sasha, though, are taking amazing pictures, and hopefully they'll share those with the world at some point. So until next week, it's Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Thanks for listening. Please write to us, otw@2600.com. Until next time, when we come to you from some other far-off exotic place, have a good night.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. Get your bags together. Go bring your good friends too. Because it's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. Come and join the living. It's not so far from you, and it's getting nearer. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Light on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. Peace train. Crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy rolling.
Everyone jump upon the